morning, everyone. I just want to say a big thank you to Reverend Rachel for giving me the opportunity to share my experience with you this morning. I mean, today is just such a special day for me because this is going to be the last time I'm going to be in church with you this morning. Today is when we have my commencement ceremony for the PDS program. And most likely the last time I've seen the Reverend Rachel again. But I just say a big thank you for giving me the opportunity to share my experience with you. The title of my message today is Choosing to Believe. From the reading I have chosen in Matthew 11:28, the Bible says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." I think I better start with my story, the beginning of my story first was in 2002, February 2002, to be precise, I came into America for a dental congress in Chicago. And I saw the advances in dentistry, and I decided, you know what, I want to be a part of this. So I came in, I applied for some programs, and in 2004, I was actually accepted in a residency program in New York. Reporting for the program, I thought I had everything all set. And reporting for the program, I was told that, you know what, being a foreign trained dentist, I had to go for an additional 2-year training to be able to do practice dentistry in America. So that was what brought me to San Francisco. I was accepted in the University of Wisconsin Dentistry in UOP, and that was what brought me to San Francisco. One of the best things that happened to me, like the first week I came into San Francisco, was, you know, I just said, you know what, I'm going to look around for the nearest neighborhood church around. I just lived on Washington Street, about 2 minutes away, walking to church. And I ended up here. Nobody actually invited me to church. I found church by myself. And every Sunday, I just come in walking and just sit behind, listen to Reverend Rachel from Sunday to Sunday. And honestly, she cannot believe how much support emotionally she had given me. Just by that, I was always maybe the last one early. I'm the first one out, you know, but I mean, it has been an amazing experience, to say the least. But now, I've come to share a story about God's faithfulness throughout this journey. You see, in my wildest dreams, like, I'm African, I'm from Nigeria. In my wildest dreams, in my quest for excellence, I had everything planned. Oh yes, I was going to come into America, do my board exams. I got my dental board exams over in 6 months, and I was ready to go. Everything was set. I never ever anticipated the many curves along my supposedly perfectly planned path. Least of all, which was a real major issue, was loneliness. In Africa, I mean, okay, we work from Monday to Friday and we have a good time over the weekend. You know, you go to your sisters, you go to your cousins, there's always something happening. So you can imagine coming to San Francisco where I didn't know anyone. On Friday, the minute I said goodbye to my last patient and came home, between Friday and Monday morning, the only human contact I had was coming to church and saying, "Oh, hello, Reverend Rachel. Oh, hello, Nikechi. Have a blessed week." And I say back to her, "Oh, Reverend Rachel, have a blessed week." Those were my only, that was my only physical contact with a human being. Needless to say, it is indescribable the kind of loneliness that I actually went through during these 2 years. But a child is going to forgive me because, I mean, in times when I was so down and when I was so lonely, there were some times I just had to only express myself in song. You know, I mean, different ways and avenues forgive my hijabs. And there were times when I was just so overwhelmed by the situation, and I broke into songs like, "Hear my cry, O Lord, attend unto my prayer from the end of the earth. I cry out to you from my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." That is higher than I. I mean, it was obvious to me that I had a choice of either choosing to, I mean, work with my calculating mind, my calculating scientific mind, or just lean on a power that was much higher than me. And that is why the reason why I'm standing here today. I hope by the time I actually finish with my experience, that other people will be encouraged that no matter what you're going through, as long as you choose to believe on God, as long as you decide to rest in the faithfulness of God, God will come through for you, for us. In the dental school, I had done dentistry in Nigeria, and I had been a dentist for 21 years when I had to come back for this two-year program. So you can imagine doing things that you had done 21 years before. The indescribable pressure, like I said, cannot be described. You know what? Like I said, I have two choices. Rely on my scientific mind or choose to believe the word of God. One interesting thing was, in the course of study in UOP, that this very old man, Dr. Levy, a professor of pharmacology, who, when we're doing antidepressants, antipsychotics, etc., said that there was a study that had actually been done, you know, and found out that people who actually attended religious gatherings had fewer numbers or had fewer cases of depression, etc. I mean, he just mentioned it in passing, and I mean, I felt like raising my hand and saying, "You know what, Dr. Levy? You're definitely talking about me here." You know, but I mean, the bottom line is I give God the glory for the situation. Now, as things went by, the pressure came on, the days went by, graduation requirements were coming on. Who could I come to? Reverend Rachel. "You know what, Reverend Rachel? Oh my goodness, I'm in trouble. I have to have a certain number of crowns done. I have to have a certain number of fittings done. I don't know anyone in San Francisco. What am I going to do?" Oh, and then she suggested, maybe it's a good idea. Maybe we should do something in the lunch room or, you know, or something. I said, "Oh, boy. I hope I have to play safe over here. I don't want to be accused of soliciting. I have to be professional about it. So what do I do?" But you know what? In this situation of looking for patients, I learned a great lesson. Never look down on anyone. There was this gentleman who was a patient of mine. Like I said, I didn't know anybody in San Francisco. And as years went by, my patients actually became my friends. And there was this particular gentleman who couldn't afford the treatment himself, was on government aid. You know, but each time he came, you know, I would joke with him, you know, and just really ask him how life was treating him. You know, and we developed a friendship as part of the time went back. You know, and so when we got graduation requirements, the pressure came on for the requirements, and I just told him, I said, "You know what, Mr. Thomas, I have to leave San Francisco in June 2008. I don't know anyone. Would you know anyone who knows anyone who knows anyone who knows anyone who needed crowns, bridges, etc.?" And he said, "Look, what I'll do for you is, I know this gentleman who owns a restaurant. I will talk to him and see what he can do for you." Right? Lo and behold, this gentleman, the owner of the restaurant, came himself. Coincidentally, he said about a week before this gentleman had spoken to him, he had actually gone to his dentist, who had given him a bill of about $4,000 because he needed everything. And he bound to everything. I couldn't believe that God would supply my every need. It was an incredible situation. I couldn't believe it. And I said, oh my goodness, yes, I actually choose to believe the word of God. God is actually doing what he says he would do. The Lord says, he's my shepherd, I shall not want, and he's providing at this point. Anyway, this gentleman comes in. He now comes in with his restaurant manager, who comes in with his wife. You know, in those three patients, I actually could get most of my test cases done. Practically everything I needed to do. He even now started referring other people to me just by this gentleman who I didn't look down on. You know, so that act of compassion, of not judging people by the way they look, I mean, is a lesson that I would definitely keep for life. So that is as far as requirement goes. Now, requirements were over, and the next thing is we're getting ready for the licensure exam. I mean, even after getting the dental degree, you need a license to practice. The next thing, I call Reverend Rachel again and say, you know what? I need three perfect patients that I need for my current board exam. And the same thing. Oh, okay, maybe I'll talk to the members, and see what we have. And honestly, I was so, so thrilled. I mean, a member of the church over here actually called me and said, you know what? Reverend Rachel told me about you, and I'm not sure if I fit the criteria to meet the requirements. That just blew my mind. That no matter what it is, the little support, the little shows of kindness, you know, from one person to another could go a long way in making life so much, much better for other people. You know, he didn't have the requirements I needed, but what he did for me was to show me that God was still in control of the situation. And I think that wasn't enough. 2 weeks ago, when everything was really, I still have last minute, I still haven't had the right patients. On Sunday morning, 2 weeks ago, I just walked into church, and what was the choir singing? They were singing, "Peace be still and know that I am God." I just said, you know what? Lord, I know everything is in control at this point. Peace be still, when I'm so harassed at this point, at this point in time, I don't have all my patients ready, but you know what? You have said, peace be still, and I choose to believe your word. You know, from that point on, I calmed down. I mean, this was about Sunday. My exams were starting. I mean, the clinical exam was starting on Saturday. And it was like, I choose to believe your word, oh God. Peace be still. I'm going to know your God. And that was exactly what happened. My patients came in. I mean, there's one thing getting patients for the exam, and there's one thing your patients coming in and staying till the end of the exam. You know, so someone had told me about doing the mock exams. Like, usually before the board exam, we have all these mock practice exams. And my classmates, what had actually happened, she had a patient who came, she had treated the patient, and at the point of submitting the patient for to grade it, the patient said, oh, you know what, I'd like to use the restroom, and the patient is bad. So there are different things that could happen, even when you have everything fixed and everything is together. So the long and short is I decided to believe, to have peace be still. I decided to know that God was God. And everything came through. My patients all came. I was like, oh, Nikesh, don't worry. We're going to be there for you. And that's exactly what happened. You know, so bottom line, God is faithful. And the one thing about this society generally is we have, I mean, it's good to plan. We have everything worked out. We dot our I's, we cross our T's. But sometimes things just, no matter how perfectly you have everything worked out, it doesn't always work out the way you plan. You know? So, share my experience. What made the whole journey much, much easier was choosing to believe the word of God, choosing to stand on the word of God, choosing to believe and practice that, which brought peace to my soul. For anyone going through any situation, any difficulty, sharing from my experience, peace be still. Let God be God. Choose to rely, choose to rest in God. Like I said, today I'm actually filled with joy. The Bible says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. For 2 years, I mean, my best friend is my husband. We have always been friends. Because of my quest for excellence, I had to live in Maryland. I had to come in to San Francisco. I mean, I can't describe how much weeping I did. You know, but joy has come in the morning. You know, June, sometimes, you know, when I'm just so overwhelmed and I talk to Reverend Rachel on Sunday, hi, Nikeji, how are you? Reverend Rachel, oh my goodness. I said, you know what? Everything, it would soon come to an end. And then sometimes I look at her without saying a word and say, do you know what you're talking about? she couldn't have understood it, but, you know, I won't say a word. I'll just say, thank you, Reverend Rachel. Have a blessed week. And scoot off, you know. But weeping has endured very night. Joy has come today. Today's is commencement. Forgive me, child. Forgive my keys. But the only song that I have to sing today is this. Bless the Lord. Oh my soul, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. I'm not quite sure if I've made the choir, but I haven't.
Sorry, we didn't know about you before.
Psalm 66 verse 12, which says, we, meaning me and my husband, we went through the fire and we went through the water. But you, O God, has brought us out through your performance. I just bless God for Reverend Rachel. I'm glad I wasn't here to see how it got. That would have been another obstacle. I wouldn't have been ready to surmount. You know, but I just give God the glory. And I leave for a good first commencement, and I just thank God for this experience, because it has brought out a compassionate side of me. It has taught me not to look down on anyone. It has taught me the power of perseverance, but most importantly, it has taught me to stand on the spoken word of God. Thank you very much.
Dr. Nikeji, congratulations. And I'm glad that your commencement doesn't begin for a couple of hours so that you would be able to be with us this morning. And your husband, Reverend Romani, it's just so special to have you with us too. And your presence and your spirit will remain in this place.
Thank you. Thank you.